too. The only
we'll get back to side two of this broadcast on Grace Kelly and the dangerous areas that Grace was in, because she touched these various bases, and I do want to go into the relationship of her to the spy agencies. She was not separate from, I don't believe she was separate from the intelligence community for many, many reasons. Now, I've broken down the story so far, the research on her, into these areas. I'll give them to you, and I'll just do one or two this evening. One, the accident itself, the cover-up, the witnesses that were present, the mechanics of the car and the discrepancies of the car, the medical care, the discrepancies and what was lacking in the medical care and the police investigation, so forth, the experts. That's the accident. The mechanics itself, the car, one news tab says the brakes were altered. It was a conspiracy. I'll give you some of the headlines from the local grocery store tabs, but they are exploring a subject that is already dead and buried as far as Time and Newsweek, Washington Post, New York Times. It's all over until other people begin to investigate it, and then a year later, they get on to it. And incidentally, getting on to it, I will not tonight talk about the Santa Fe, Kuwait scandal. I talked about it a year ago, the foreknowledge of the stock at Gerald Ford. That's in the newspaper this week in the Wall Street Journal. And I will not talk about Tursum and Mubarak and the murder of Sadat. That's in the Wall Street Journal. A lot of information on that. There are many top stories that I've hit upon in the past 1 and 2 years that are breaking the news now, but we're going to stick with Grace. Now, there's the personal level, her family, the conflicts, what's going on. If Stephanie was driving the car, Prince Rainier won't get a $40 million insurance policy. If Grace was driving it, he gets $40 million. That's a lot of money for somebody you haven't slept with for a long time and keeping women on the side, $40 million insurance policy. And then the circle, the complicated circle like Steve Sagan talks about in his book, The Circle, about Vietnam, South Korea, Henry Kissinger, the drug connections, that book, which I don't have yet, called The Circle by Steve Sagan. It's interesting that he called it The Circle because when I taught that conspiracy course at NBC with Ray Fabrizio, or when I give lectures at various groups or colleges, I have a circle of 16 interlocking chains that constitute a conspiracy, and if any one of those chains break, the conspiracy becomes exposed. So in the circle, in Grace's entourage and around here, was a web, and the web is as complicated as that spider web known as the Odessa. A man, Joseph Persico, an investigator, did a book called The Spider Web. And this book describes his information after World War II, and he wrote a book also called Piercing the Reich on Operation Bernhardt, where the Nazis wanted to undermine the British economy. And this isn't far from the Grace story, because Prince Bernhardt was at her funeral and is part of the Kissinger-Haig Grace Kelly gang in the Trilateral Commission and the whole ball of wax of the international conspirators. And Prince Bernhard also belonged to IG Farben, one of Hitler's agents. He married Queen Juliana of the Netherlands. During the war, they had an operation called Bernhard where the Nazis were going to undermine the British economy and the American also by flooding the market with counterfeit notes. And they hid away these counterfeit plates for after the war so that they can start making those counterfeit plates. The Nazis wanted to use them again. Now, this new book on the Vatican tells about Paul Marcinkus, the Vatican treasurer from the bank and the post bodyguard, asking various criminals to make plates of counterfeiting of stocks for the Vatican, working again with organized crime and the mafia. This book just came out. So it's happening now. It's still going on. It was happening at the end of World War II. And Persico wrote, he said, throughout the United States and Europe, he spoke to ex-spies, intelligence agents, and was looking for that circle of the spider web. So in understanding these conspiracies, I made a circle of the spider web of Princess Grace. Now, you could add a few more strings going back and forth and this way and that, but in essence, this is the way I see the story. I've seen it for a long time, that Monaco connection is very, very important. Start at the top, Philadelphia Catholic school, very much a part of the The Sovereign Military MALDA, the Sovereign Military Order of MALDA, which is the secret society that all our top intelligence agents are associated with. She was part of the Catholic Society and went to a Catholic school and then went to New York City to study drama. Now, while she was growing up during the Depression years from the 30s to 1950s, her father was running for mayor in Philadelphia. He didn't get it. He borrowed $7,000, and he parlayed it to $25 million. Now, that's a pretty cute trick. There's probably only two ways you can do this. One would be organized crime. Well, maybe you could mix a few of them. But the other is working for the Rockefellers. And her father, it turns out, was one of the builders for Rockefeller Center and the United Nations. And I think that's pretty interesting because out of the Rockefeller building was Intrepid, the British intelligence, the American intelligence offices during World War II. But Daddy made the bulk of his money, according to what I read, from working for the construction of the Rockefeller Center and the UN. And Grace is in New York City. She's a model. Now, Jerry Ford was a model with Candy Jones in New York City, and they parlayed that into becoming a member of the Warren Commission, and he parlayed that into a multinational banker being on the board of directors with Grace, 20th Century Fox, and Henry Kissinger, and Madame Chenault. I keep repeating that list of people. It's so fascinating. So Jerry Ford started as a model, and so did Grace, and she was in two plays. One was 3 months, the other was 3 weeks. She made some TV films, and she was off to Hollywood. Okay, now I'm drawing a round, well, it's the Pentagon. You've got your circles here. This is the basis of the outline of the spider web. She goes to MGM, where Louis Mayer is the head of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Now, she signs a 7-year contract with MGM. Louis Mayer was probably the most political of the movie moguls in Hollywood outside of the Warners, but even more so because he took on Marion Davies and he worked with Randolph Hearst, very closely with Randolph Hearst. In fact, he made the first news telecast over with Louis Mayer. I have the years and I'll go into the details of that. Louis had a secretary named Ida Koverman, who I'm indebted to for my fabulous collection of autographed pictures of movie stars. It's very, very valuable, and Ida got them for me. My father was close to Louis Mayer, very close to him. And at MGM, Ida was also, she came to Louis from Herbert Hoover. Now, Louis pushed Herbert Hoover. He was very close to Herbert Hoover, and these were hard years where very few people had money, but Mr. Kelly had it, and the Rockefellers had it. And Louis Mayer had it, and Randolph Hearst was his close buddy. Of course, he gave Marion Davies her movies, and they were up at the Hearst Ranch. And Hearst hired a writer. Mr. Knickerbocker was the name, the trade name. He used that as a writer, Charlie Knickerbocker, worked for Hearst. But there was a family, the Ala Cassini family, that was close to Hearst and the Hearst family, and also became close to Princess Grace. She dated the member of the family. There was Igor Cassini and Oleg Cassini. And I'll go into later with you the Cassini connections to Tsarist Russia. A friend was over yesterday who brought me a autobiography by Cassini's mother and her two sons about Igor and Oleg. And, of course, they're linked to Louis Neisser, who wrote the introduction of the Warren Report, to Frank Sinatra, to Mr. Ruby Rosa, to Trujillo, to Richard Nixon, the Dominican Republic that Michael Sindona, the Vatican, bought in. There was a ball of wax here where Grace was dating one of the Cassinis, but Joe Kennedy, again, a very high pro-Nazi member of the Sovereign Military Order of MALDA, didn't want her to get tangled with the Cassinis because he had been divorced once. So he breaks up that marriage, and Joseph Kennedy, a next-door neighbor of the Reitzman, who married Mrs. Reitzman, who was married to one of the Cassinis. Joe Kennedy and Monte Carlo and that ball of wax enter the picture of Grace Kelly's life, her dating Cassini, knowing every inch of the Riviera, and his mother from Tsarist Russia, part of the court of the Tsar of Russia. They moved out, came to Hollywood, and her son is a reporter for Hearst, who's lauding Goering and Goebbels and Mussolini and Hitler, and Grace Kelly falls right into that section. I'll do some, not on her modeling or any more on her father's building, but the Cassini connections to Grace Kelly and the MGM politics and where she ends up. Then she co-stars with Frank Sinatra, who is close, as I say, to the Cassini family, to Alfred Bloomingdale, who was literally his godfather. And then you get your Roy Conan, again, Louis Neiser, and the Palm Springs connections to Annenberg and the MGM High Society. The whole ball of wax of conspiracies over the past 20 years, or longer than that, but going to the John Kennedy murder and Frank Sinatra's close associations with Sam Giancana and John Roselli and so forth, Grace fit right into every one of these people, dating the Cassinis, movies with Sinatra, Sinatra going to Monaco all frequently, but not at her funeral, you notice, except for Prince Bernhard. Most of them stayed away from the funeral. She moves, has this arrangement. She becomes engaged at Christmas. She announces her engagement January the 5th, you know, 10 days later, and moves to Monaco, where Aristotle Onassis owns 50% or more of the casino. He has his all-German crew that goes back and forth to Argentine between oil tankers and dope dealing and international Nazis like Hallmar Schacht, who's released from prison by John J. McCloy of the Warren Commission. Again, you see, every one of these people that I studied when I wanted to know who killed John Kennedy is in the news today, and they'll be in the news tomorrow until we lay it all out, until some people get into their heads how these people have been operating since 1943, before the war was over, and not farther back. Joe Kennedy was ambassador to Great Britain and was brought home because J. Edgar Hoover thought he was too overtly Nazi, you know, to be our ambassador, so they brought him home. But on the yacht of at Monaco with Aristotle Onassis is this gang, and she moves right into there after her arrangement. And part of the Monte Carlo Lodge and the Secret Society are Alexander Haig and Roy Cohn and Henry Kissinger and so forth. So when the Vatican trouble begins to come down, the missing millions and the missing billions, and Mr. Michael Sindona is wanted for various charges, Licio Gelli has fled, Roberto Calvi is hung, and others are being shot and killed along the way, there's Grace doing secret work inside the Vatican. Money linked to Luxembourg, Liechtenstein, the Bahamas, dummy fronts all over the world. At the time, the Vatican scandals have been going down, say, since at least May of 81 with Licio Gelli when he fled, and the lodge secrecy and their links to Mussolini and Hitler and Franco going way back. She should have stayed out of Italy no matter what. She claimed the one thing she lived for was her children and her family. If she really did that and wasn't a bag woman, like I said she was, this entire time she would have stayed home, because to get into the Vatican at this time, you don't have to make a Christmas movie and you don't have to make an Easter movie. Christmas and Easter will come every year, and you let your chauffeur drive you, which she had, and you let your bodyguard go with you, and they weren't there. You don't take those chances unless you have to make that trip, because you are not that stupid. She knows what's happening, and she absolutely can't be that stupid. There was one article in the news, "The Death of a Fairy Tale Princess. Love Couldn't Bring Her Back. Grace's Doctors Unravel the Crash and the Mystery." No, love won't bring her back, and neither will the saga of the killed agents. People have to get into their heads the danger of working with the intelligence establishment and what happens to you. If you know too much and you travel around too much, you are in danger. Now, that is the overall view of Grace. The mechanics of the car and the medical reports are almost becoming common knowledge of discrepancies. But the historical overview of from the time she was a model to MGM to the Cassini family and the Sinatras and the Vatican introducing her to her prince and her arrangement and her Monaco role, and from there carrying it on with these same characters, she was set up. Whatever she was doing, her time was up for whatever reason, just like Roberta Calvi. Now, the trade papers that are on the grocery store stands and the markets carry things about Elvis Presley or John Belushi. It was the National Enquirer that caused or forced a grand jury investigation in Los Angeles into the murder of John Belushi. The trade papers are carrying stories that the wire services won't carry, because the wire services, for the most part, are covered by the multinationals. The Globe this week has a story. Grace knew she was about to die. This is the front page. Guilty Rainier told by children, get out. Her last hours, the big cover-up, and this goes into the $40 million insurance policy. Now, Mr. Leccio, the witness who was with her when the car fell in his backyard, said her only words uttered were, I want you to believe that I was driving the car. Now, if she said that, then her husband, the widower, gets the $40 million. But then the last words in the National Enquirer to Mr. Leccio was, please tell them I love them, my husband, Carolyn, Stephanie, and Albert. And then she passed and faded out. Please tell them I love them. So one, the Globe has the story of the chasing husband, the miserable marriage, the prowling Rainier, pictures him with another woman on the yacht, how he went womanizing with his son. The National Enquirer has other stories about the bungling medical care and how she could have been saved and how they take the racers at Monaco to Nice or to Zurich, and the Air Force takes injured people to hospitals in Europe, any place but where she went. And then 8-9 hours later, they take her to a private clinic to do the brain scan. She's been in a deep coma. They've sedated her and haven't even considered the coma. They're fixing the bones on the leg or hip or whatever they're doing. Now, the Star has a front page story. Oh, the National Enquirer story is Grace, the real story. She didn't have to die. Her last words, the only person who saw her. The Star has exclusive life inside the palace with the grieving Caroline and Rainier. And a truck driver, a front page story, did I cause Grace's death? Now, this is an interesting story. There were actually four witnesses within a second. But a truck driver tells his account of going around. He's 40 feet from her car, and he says, I saw the car leap into the empty space like a bounce on a trampoline. I stopped. I looked down. Farmer Liquido was dousing the flames. Liquido was dousing the flames. The car was on fire. Stephanie was wandering around in a dazed shock. Everything seemed to be under control, so I got back in my cab and drove away. Can you imagine a man? He saw some other body there, but he thought it was dead, so he didn't go down. He's right behind her. He sees it go over. He looks down the hill and sees what they're doing and drives away as if Mr. Leccio didn't need a hand. He just goes on and says everything was under control. What is his definition of under control? Because wherever these accidents are arranged, someone is close by pressing a button or doing something to trigger something to happen. The car turns over and it's in flames. He says it's under control. If I were investigating the case, I'd sure bring him back and ask him to define it. Then the National Enquirer has the story already. The whisper around Europe is that Grace was murdered. Who tampered with the brakes of the death car? Now, I was talking about the murder of Grace Kelly last week on KZU, but you have to admit that they're catching on much faster. It only took 1 or 2 days. I think we were on the air on Monday and Tuesday. The newsstands had these four stories about tampering with the car and so forth, and the medical discrepancies and the problems in the family, the insurance problems, how the kids can't stand the father and how they all fought with each other and so forth, and their trip to the Arctic and the Vatican arrangement of the marriage. All that was in within a week. They are catching on to look for items. The news media is looking on and picking up things that they never thought to ask. A lot of people get depressed in doing this research. Are we making any progress? We're making progress because you can always ask a question and find out whether it's right or wrong later. But it took years to ask questions about these serious events, and now they're catching on a little faster. Now, as far as the danger with Grace, at the time that this was happening, there were articles telling the Vatican problems. Time, September the 13th, had the story, The Great Vatican Bank Mystery, Two Deaths Related to It. Now, that is dated, so it came out actually about 4 days earlier. It's dated the 13th. So by September the 10th or 9th, it was on the stand. So she must be reading some magazines in Europe about the deaths in the Vatican. Newsweek has a front page important Vatican story. Inside the Vatican Bank scandals, Vatican under scrutiny, 7 mysterious deaths. She must have seen that somewhere, didn't she? And the San Francisco Chronicle, September, they had an article in September. Michael Sindona, God's banker, has been indicted in Italy for the murder of five Italian investigators. So something is wrong in the Vatican. And in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, William Arco was arrested. He's wanted in Italy with Michael Sindona for murdering these investigators. Now, Bucks County is the theater where Grace started. That isn't far from Philadelphia and her hometown. And Licio Gelli, the night before Grace's accident, or the same day, was arrested in Switzerland and has been linked in the New York Times and Washington Post to the murder of 86 people in Bologna alone. So she and Roberta Calvi was hung in June in London, and she knew who he was and has to work with the Banco Ambrosione on those people, and his secretary went flying out a window. So she's working inside the Vatican. She must have some reason to be there. You can't just see all these deaths and see what they're doing to your buddies and not know you're not in some kind of danger. Now, Monday, San Francisco Chronicle had one story. This is September 27th. Rome, the Associated Press story, Franco Calamandre. This story was given to me by David Emery. I didn't see it in my edition of the paper. 65 years old, a senator in Italy, was the leading figure in investigating the Italian scandal, the Propaganda Due, which is the Masonic scandal, which is linked to the Banco Ambrosiano and the Vatican. He was a leading figure in investigating this. His family announced he was formerly a correspondent in London and in Peking, worked for the communist newspapers in Italy, and was elected to the Senate in 1968. He was best known for his work, for parliamentary work, in investigating the Masonic Lodge scandal. He died Monday of this week since we were on the air. Then another story, the official of the tainted bank killed in Milan, October the 2nd. A deputy director of the scandal-haunted Ambrosiano Bank jumped to his death from a window of the bank's headquarters. They said he was killed. The third bank official to commit suicide, they're calling them suicides with ha-ha after it. Giuseppe Della Cha, 54-year-old deputy director of the bank's main office, scrawled a farewell note on his desk calendar, made a suicide leap. Now, I want to digress to a suicide note. I don't think I've mentioned on the program. I've been wanting to do it for weeks, and maybe I should mention it every week. It has to do with the murder of that Mrs. Siff in Houston, Texas, who ran the theater down there, who was murdered recently. And a man was apprehended for her murder, and he's going to be given the death sentence by injection, by a needle soon. But another man was involved in the murder who hasn't been apprehended, and he was writing a suicide note that she was leaving. She was strangled up in the dressing room. She was staying late at the theater, and she was strangled. And they found the suicide that she note was in the handwriting of the second person. And I might have mentioned this to you. So suicide notes belong to the top secret property of the investigator. So you don't have to believe that this person wrote the note, Mr. Giuseppe Della Cha, when he went flying out the window. He is directly related to the other deaths, and I don't believe that they are all jumping as fast as they would have us believe. Now, Mr. Sindona was in the news this week. He's asking Ronald Reagan, please let me free. He wants to, the food's bad. He was on television. He doesn't like the jails here. He wants to go back to Italy. He's wanted for five murders there, and it seems to me he's having a better time at a federal prison here. He wants to go back to Italy. He wants to leave the country, period, and get back to Italy because he knows he can escape from there. So these were dangerous times for Grace. I got an article from New York City in the mail. It was from today's newspaper, The Tablet. That's the Catholic paper in New York City. And it came to me, Princess Grace led the way for women of her time. And it tells about Father J. Francis Tucker, serving Prince Rainier's chaplain, introduced the pair. Some months later, he returned to his home in Wilmington, Delaware, to celebrate his Golden Jubilee with this particular order, and he took Prince Rainier with him. The trip included a visit to Philadelphia to see Grace, who was visiting her family. A week later, the couple announced their engagement. You see, that's the way it went. The the man from the Vatican who was helping and working in Monaco with the prince took him to Philadelphia. The prince proposed, and 10 days later, the engagement was announced. That was in the Catholic newspaper. Also in the tablet, August the 7th, on royal location in Rome, Princess Grace of Monaco will serve as mistress of ceremonies for two films in the Vatican shot this summer. These are the films I was talking about last week. The shooting schedule is she has portions of the Nativity that will be in the U.S., Canada, and the Philippines television. It is called The Greatest Mystery. This is Father Peyton's greatest mystery, was what she was doing in the Vatican. And New York Post, again, had the articles of her working with Father Peyton in what they called in the Catholic newspapers, shrouded in secrecy, queries, what's going on in St. Peter's Basilica. I mentioned that to you last week. What was going on in the Basilica with Mr. Father Peyton and Grace Kelly? Now, she was working there this summer after she was dead. One newspaper, the New York Daily News, as I said before, said she completed the filming in June. But her best friend, who wrote her biography, had an article about what Grace was doing this summer. And she accounted for 2 weeks, 16 days up in the Arctic, and will swing to the Arctic next week, and the Arctic connections to Monaco and Grace. But she has her 2 weeks at the summer home in France. Well, that isn't the whole summer. Where else was Grace those other weeks? And what was she doing? And was she on orders that she had no choice? Because she obviously was off. And I think the clue is going to lie in where all these other people were killed. It isn't that this institution is pristine and clean. They're being charged, their agents, with murders. People related to the case are dying. Every single day you see a new article or a new allegation or a new charge. So next week I'll continue with some other news and part three of Princess Grace in the Arctic at MGM and with Oleg Cassini, because I think you'll find that network interesting. In the meanwhile, this is Mae Brussel. It's KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove, California. I'll be back with you next week.